I'd like to invite you back this evening. Pastor Matt will be preaching on 2 Timothy chapter 1. And so if you're able to come back and be here for that service, I know you will enjoy it. I understand about graduations. Next Sunday, my daughter graduates in Taksung. And next Sunday evening, we'll have an open house for Christy at Michelle's mom and dad's parents in Atlanta, and you all are invited to that. There'll be plenty of food and just a time of celebration together with Christy and us as a family. And today we turn to Romans chapter 8, the last few verses, 35 to 39, about the steadfast love of God. So I'll read this if you would follow along. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so these are the last verses of Romans chapter 8 on the steadfast love of God. And we need these verses. We need these verses today. We rejoice together, and yet in our life we know that there is suffering. I think this is in the context of suffering. In verse 18, Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed. And certainly here at the end, he speaks about our suffering. He speaks about the things that the afflictions and the trouble and the danger and the power of death and oppression upon us. And the answer, the hope that we have is that God loves us, no matter what. And I think we need these verses today. I need these verses. I think of John Parrott, still in the nursing home, battling with pneumonia. I think of the Dietz's granddaughter who was burned so badly, and pray for her. Nicole is her name. Pray for Connie and Bill. They're so upset, so troubled by this, and yet trying to trust the Lord through it. They're going to wait and see if she's going to have skin graft on this part of her body that was burned, and we pray. Janet Barrett's mom passed away this last week, and she needs to hear these verses. I need to hear these verses. And it's the emphasis, as Paul ends this part of Romans, the emphasis is three times in this passage, God loves us. He loves us. We see it in verse 35. Who shall separate us? It's talking about you and me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So three times you're going to see God, love, and us. In verse 37, we learn of him who loved us. And in verse 39, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. God's love is not just an emotion toward us. You know, like we might love ice cream. You know, or we might love a nice spring rain, or probably sunshine. That's an emotion. That's a good feeling. God has more than an emotion toward us. His love is the kind of love that gave his only son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In these verses 35 to 39 that we'll look at today, it's bracketed. It's, if you can imagine, bookends. In my office, I have bookshelves. And I have books, and they're held together by these bookends. And the bookends of 35 through 39, It's separation. He says in 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's this question, who will remove us from God's love? And then in verse 39, I am convinced that nothing shall be able to separate us. What will separate us? Nothing will separate us because of the love of God. Suffering and trials can cause us to question God's love. You go through a difficulty, you go through a painful situation, and you go, if God loves me, how can this be happening? How can this be so hard in my life if God loves me? And Paul is saying the hard things that come against you will never separate you from God's love. It is not trying to separate you from God's love. In fact, it's only just strengthening you and bringing you closer to Him. I remember in our church library when I was growing up as a kid, there was a book, and the title was, If God Loves Me, Why Can't I Get My Locker Open? You know? Have you ever felt that way? I think we've all gone out to the car and have found a flat tire. Or it won't start. You know? Or you drive somewhere and you get out and you run out of gas. You're almost to the gas station. You run out of gas. And these are the little things. These are the things that are frustrating at the moment. And we say, now if God loves me, I'm late and I'm tying my shoe and I break my shoelace. And you say, oh, you know, that's... And those are the silly things. Those are the things we can smile and chuckle about. Paul doesn't even talk about shoelaces. He's talking about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. He's talking about some serious, serious afflictions. We can face intense trials physically, mentally, emotionally. Or if we're not facing a severe trial, we may be worried that one's coming. My mentor, Pastor Dave, he says, don't put your raincoat on until you need it. But some of us, we know the rain is coming, and so even on a beautiful day like yesterday, we got our rain jacket on. You go, isn't this a beautiful day? Well, it could rain anytime. And we might not be in a storm, but we're anxiously fearful of a storm that could be coming our way. When we fear the most, these verses come alongside to remind us that God loves you no matter what. Let's pray together and we'll look at these verses. Father, I thank you for your steadfast love. I just want to point out what you have given to us in these verses. Lord, help me to communicate it as clearly as I can and just move my heart by this promise and guarantee of your love for me, for those sitting here today. I thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, this question is, does suffering mean I'm out of God's love? Does suffering mean I'm out of God's love? Has God withdrawn his love from me because I'm going through a hard time? So Paul asked this question, who shall separate us? And Jesus used this word, separate. He used this word in Matthew 19 to refer to divorce. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, referring to divorce. It is a permanent separation. It means to divide, to sever one thing from another. And so Paul says, can anything or anyone separate us from the love of Christ? Okay, is there any separation that could happen? And he says, from the love of Christ. And Paul wants us to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. That's Ephesians 3:18. In fact, he prays that we would know the love of Christ, get this, that we would know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge or that surpasses knowledge, Ephesians 3:19. If it was like a cube, If you were in the love of Christ and it was a cube, can you imagine that? You could go and go and go in this direction and never come to the end of it or the side of it. And you could go in this direction. You could go up. You could go down. You could go back. And if you were in the love of Christ, you would never reach the end of it. And that's why he says, I pray you'd have the strength to be able to comprehend how great the love of Christ is for you. And what you're going to realize is you'll never know how big it is or how much it is, how great that it is. And Paul is going to speak from experience when he talks about suffering and the love of Christ. He knows these two things fully. He knows about suffering more than you and I will ever know. And he knows about the love of Christ. And so he's writing with this encouragement. And in verse 35, he says, let's just kind of throw out some things that we might think would be so terrible that we'd be distanced from the love of Christ. Could it be tribulation? And tribulation maybe is sort of the heading for the rest of this, for the rest of the list. The word tribulation means pressing, pressure. You'll like this. It's what they did to grapes to get the grape juice out of them, right? They would get up there and they would tribulate the grapes, usually with their bare feet. You get in there and what are you doing? You're stomping out the juice. You're squeezing and pressing the juice out. And Paul says, that happens in my life. That pressure that comes in our lives, it's tribulation. It's pressing until we almost burst or feel like we will burst. Will tribulation separate us from the love of Christ? He says, or distress. Literally, it's a narrow space. A narrow space, distress. It's difficulties. We use the expression being between a rock and a hard place. It means it's narrow. It means I wish I could get out of this, but I can't. Do you like caving? Spelunking? How many of you like that when you go down in the cave and they say, okay, now we're going to turn the lights off? No? I hear a no. Okay. You get in there. I remember there was a guy I knew in West Virginia. He liked to go caving, and he talked about this one passageway in the cave where the only way you could get from one cave to the other was in this little passageway, and you had to exhale all of your air from your body and slide through there, and then you could breathe again. Anybody up for that? The teens in the back, maybe, right? Okay? Being distress. Okay, that's caving or spelunking, whatever you want to call it. What about in your life when it feels that way? Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place in your life? And you're looking and you're saying, which I have to make a choice here, and either choice is going to be painful. There's no good way to do this. Distress. He says persecution. And this is, we don't have it so much yet in our life, but persecution is being pursued, chased, oppressed for your faith in Christ. It's you love Jesus and people hate you for that. And if you're swearing allegiance to Christ and not to another God or not to another system, then you will be persecuted. They may try to torture your faith out of you. Try to get you to refuse Christ, turn from Christ, and accept another belief. And Paul says persecution was very real in his life, and even coming into the Romans here, the Roman church. Or famine. Famine. We take our ample supply of food for granted. I mean, we run out of something, and there's a grocery store, there's Ken's, there's Olson's, there's that place that keeps changing its name. It used to be Giant Way. Then it was Giant, then it was Glenn's, and now it's something else. Grocery stores. We just run down. We just get what we need. These folks would live from day to day. I mean, they didn't have refrigerators. They had to live from day to day. And what happens when the food runs out and you have a famine, you have a lack of food? I know with the teens, I've gone through the 30-hour famine a couple times where the teens try to raise money for kids in countries that are certainly suffering, where there is truly famine. And so the teens and adult leaders, they'll go for 30 hours without eating. And you say, well, 30 hours, listen, it's hard. it's hard. And then they make, like the FedEx, make you do work projects. You go over and you have to rake someone's leaves. You have to do some work, and then you're even more hungry. But it's to remind you that many, many millions of people live that way, in hunger. Well, what if you're in a situation where you are hungry, where there is just not food? Does that mean that God does not love you? He says nakedness. Nakedness is, it's a lack of proper clothing without the means to get any. It's lack of proper clothing, and you can't just go grab a sweater out of the closet. You can't just go buy something. It means you are destitute. And Paul says to the Philippians, I know how to be in destitution. I know how to be poor, and I know how to be rich. I know how to be with nothing and with everything. And the only way for me to live and to survive and to minister is I found contentment somewhere. And my contentment is in Christ. It's through Him I can do all things, because He's strengthening me when I face these kinds of situations. He says, famine, nakedness, danger. That is real potential for personal harm or death. Danger. It's real. And he says, lastly, or sword. And probably he means there, death by execution. If I face these things, tribulation, just that pressure in my life, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword, if I'm facing these things, does it mean that God has stopped loving me? Has He withdrawn His love from me? Have I gotten to a place of difficulty where God doesn't care for me anymore? In fact, even in the Old Testament, they felt this way. Verse 36 is a quote from Psalm 44, which is a context of people in Israel who were trying to follow God. They were trying to do what was right, and they are crying out saying, for your sake, we're following you, and yet we feel like we're being killed, we're being slaughtered. Even though we're being faithful to you, in the Old Testament they felt this way. Paul's saying, this isn't new. It's not that if God loves you, everything in your life will be easy. And if things are hard, then maybe you've done something, God doesn't love you anymore. Paul says, this has been the experience of God's people throughout. Does suffering mean that God does not love me? Number two, Paul uses in verse 37 that very strong Greek word that is the contrast of what he has been saying. He says, no, it's but instead of that, in all things, all these things that are real, these pressures that will come, the distress, the persecution, the being without, the threat of death for your faith, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, super conquerors. This word is, are you ready? Hupernikao. That's just a fun word to say. Hupernikao. Nikao. You all know what nikao is. You know what nikao is. Okay? Because you've probably seen basketball shoes with a swoosh on the side. And those shoes are called what? Nike. Nike. Nike, what? That's victory. That's being victorious. If you wear Michael Jordan's shoes or Steph Curry's shoes, he's not for Nike. You wear these shoes, you're going to be successful. You're going to conquer that other team. Nike. It's a Greek word. And here, Paul says, you are not just Nike, you're not just a conqueror, you're a super conqueror. You're above even a conqueror. You've come in with complete victory, is the word. Overwhelmingly conquer. You are standing firm for God, never denying the Lord, trusting Him through the harshest trials. These trials come into your life, but because of the love of Christ in you, you will conquer. You will stand firm. You will be victorious. And look at the verse. How is this possible? Because you're such a great person? You're such a strong Christian? No, he says, it is through Him who loved us. Verse 37. In all these things, these trials and pressures that come upon you in your life, you will succeed. You will come through them. Because Christ has loved you. He loved us. Verse 37. That, you see that that's a past tense? I want you to notice that. It doesn't say you will conquer because Jesus loves you, although He does. He does love you. But you will conquer. You are more than a conqueror because He loved you. Past tense. It refers to the cross. It refers to the love that He demonstrated when He put Himself on the cross, when He was nailed and He was whipped and He was crucified for your sin, when He conquered your sin, when He rose from the dead victorious. Christ loved us, Ephesians 5:2. He loved us and gave Himself up for us. Our victory, you being able to endure through a persecution, a pressure in your life, you being able to endure that is because Christ endured the cross and conquered death. All that He accomplished for us, especially forgiving us, reconciling us to God, freeing us from sin and death, redeeming us, purchasing us to belong to Him and be with Him forever. That's what He was doing on the cross. All that and more. And Paul says, you're victorious. You're a victor. You're one who conquers. You're one who comes out and overwhelmingly conquers. That's why when so often when a Christian goes through a disease or a Christian goes through economic ruin and people stand back and say, how can you be so joyful? How can you be content in this situation? I would be cursing. How can you endure this? How can you be faithful? You say, because Jesus loved me. Because He's done everything for me, and I'll just follow Him. I'll just trust in Him. Even when I can't see His face, I can't see what He's doing. When I don't know why God would take this loved one from me, and I don't know why my loved one would be burned. When I don't understand that, I know that Christ has suffered for me. That He took the punishment that should have been mine, and just all by His love and His grace, He took that upon Himself. And He says, in this life, you're going to suffer. There will be trials and trouble, and it's going to be hard. And even the world, the creation is groaning to be set free from it. But He said, take heart, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. That's the same word, by the way, nikao, in John, when Jesus says, take heart, I've conquered, I've overcome, and you trust in me, I will bring you through, and there's a day coming when you'll live in my kingdom forever, and this will all just be a memory where you remember that I carried you through, and you conquered. Because God loves you no matter what. Number three, God's love makes me victorious in suffering. That was the second one. God's love makes me victorious in suffering. And number three, certainly the emphasis of these verses, nothing can separate us from God's love. It is tribulation mean that God does not love us? No, His love makes me victorious in suffering because, three, nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Verse 38. For I am sure. I'm certain. This word is in the perfect tense, which means he has been sure of this, and he will continue to be so. It's his own experience. He knows that this is true about God. He knows this is true about God's love. He is convinced of it and will continue to be so. And then he gives us these pairs of things. And he's going to come to the conclusion there's nothing in the universe that can separate you from God's love for you. But he's specific. Neither death nor life. Whether you die or whether you live on day after day, nothing in your existence can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. There are those that believe that when you die, that's the end. Paul says, no, not even death can separate you from the love of Christ. And living day after day, I think for some of us, we're excited about a new day. And maybe for others of us, we think, how much longer do I have to endure? I'm about halfway through the diary of David Brainerd, the missionary to the Indians in Pennsylvania, New Jersey in 1740s. So that's long before, well, at least 30 years before we became a nation. And David Brainerd, he suffers from great physical sickness and illness, and he's riding his horse, and he's out in the wilderness trying to find Indians to preach the gospel to, and he gets stranded, he gets lost, he has to sleep outside with the rain and the elements and the wolves circling around him. He's riding his horse breaks his leg, now he's got to walk. And David Brainerd longed to be with Christ. I just read in his diary how the last things he wrote in his diary, you know what he wants? He wants to be with his Savior. Long to be in the kingdom of heaven and to be with his Savior that had given his life for him. Would you rather be here with us or with the Lord? And sometimes it depends on maybe the trial that you're facing, the suffering that you endure, and you may wonder, Lord, how much longer until I can be with you? And the Lord says, that's not your call. That's his. That's his will in your life. Your days are numbered. He has a plan for you. He has prepared good works for you to do. They're already planned and prepared for you. So if you're here, until you draw your last breath, God has purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He has good works for you to walk in and fulfill and do. Paul says, whether it's death or life. And even Paul says, I would rather be with the Lord, but for the church, it's more beneficial that I'm here to try to minister. But to be present with the Lord, he said, would be far better. Neither death nor life, it's not going to keep you from the love of Christ. And then he talks about the spirit world, nor angels nor rulers. These are beings more powerful than us. And at the end there, if you skip over, he talks about powers being miracles, other things we have no control over. If you put that with angels and rulers and the powers that these miracles that happen or things we can't explain, things we can't do anything about. The ancient world, they were certainly superstitious and they feared angels and demons and other gods, and yet there truly are angels and demons. And Paul says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers. They're greater than us. They're stronger than us. And Paul said, can they separate us from the love of God? Not even an advanced being can separate you from the love of God, though Satan's demons would want to try, though the demons of hell would want to tempt you and bring you down and discourage you, none of them can separate you from the love of God. Verse 39, well, wait, I almost skipped one. Nor things present, nor things to come. Let's not miss that. That's big. Things present. That's what you're facing right now that is so hard. persecutions, trials, troubles. Maybe it's even Satan oppressing you. And he says that's something, a circumstance that right now you are facing. Or he says, whether things present or things to come. That's everything. That's anything that could be negative and difficult and painful. There is nothing now or in the future that will separate you from the love of God. He is not going to withdraw a drop of his love from your life, now or forever into the future. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth. That's space. Okay? That's as high, it's forever high and down. It's a spatial terminology. Okay? No matter how high you get or how low you get, God's love is there. It is for you. This is what the psalmist said in Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? If I fly to the other side of the sea, heaven, the depths, wherever I might go, even there you are with me. You are guiding me by your hand. And Paul says with that same idea, height, depth, nowhere can you imagine will you be without God's love for you, his agape love. Nor height, nor depth. And let's just make sure we cover it all here. Nor anything else in all creation. You can't say it more than that. It's in the future. It's as high, as deep. He says, anything else. I mean, I can't keep writing here. I'm going to run out of paper or run out of ink for my quill. Anything else in all creation that is absolutely no created thing. By the way, that includes you yourself. Because there are those who would say, well, nothing can separate me from the love of God, but if I decide one day to just walk away from him, I might lose my salvation. I might lose my faith. And this verse says, nothing in creation can separate you, and you're created, and in the future is covered. There is no way you will get out of God's love for you. He has chosen you. He has called you. He has justified you. You're glorified as far as he's concerned. And so I can't accept this idea of, well, God won't take my salvation away, but I could one day give it back to him. You won't. You won't. How you cannot get out of the love of God. That's what Paul is saying. He loved us. He loved us. He loved us. And there's nothing can separate it. You cannot even separate yourself. And so when this question comes up, who will separate us? Who will be able to separate us from the love of God? And the answer is no one. Nothing. It is impossible. Separation. Impossible. His love is too great. We look at verse 32, just back up there. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. His love is so powerful that he will keep you saved. No affliction, no persecution, no danger, not even death is strong enough to make you fall away from your faith or be separated from God. No created thing, which would include your will, can separate you from his love. God's love is all-powerful, and what he starts in you, he will finish. He will bring to completion. And here at the end of verse 39, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ Jesus, our Lord. The sacrifice of our Lord and Savior demonstrates God's love for us. But also, the cross is the way we come to live in the love of God forever. In other words, the cross demonstrates that God loves you, that he gave his own son. The cross demonstrates that. And the cross, faith in Christ and his cross, is the way that you remain in his love. Your faith is this, that Jesus loved me. And he gave himself on the cross for my sin. And I believe in that. I trust in him that he did that for me. And the love of God, it's shown in that cross. And then my faith in him through the cross is what keeps me in his love. It keeps me in his love. Being in Christ, that's what this verse says. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, because the love of God is in his Son, and that's where I am. That's where my faith has made me to be. I believe in him, on him. Jesus said that no one comes to the Father but through him, through faith in him, in the Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life. And notice the last word of our verse is that he is Lord. He is Lord over all. That's master. He's the master. So he gave his life, but now he is exalted, as we saw earlier. He is exalted on high, the right hand of the Father. And he is Lord. He's your master. He has conquered every power that would seek to defeat us. Colossians 2:15. The powers that were of darkness were trying to stop God, and all they did was bring about his plan. He has brought them to an open shame. He is Lord over death and life. He rose again. Get this. Because Paul says, will death or life separate us? No. Jesus died and rose again. He is now Lord right now and into the future. Things present, things to come. In him we will be in the glory of God forever. We have believed in God's Son, and so forever, God is for us. He loves us no matter what. And think of this. He is Lord of your life, which means there is nothing happening to you that he has not allowed. The persecution that you face, the distress, he is Lord of that. And you say, well, why doesn't he just keep me from every possible problem? Because he loves you. Because he's working all things together for your good. He's Lord of all. And he knows in your life what you need. You go, oh, but this is painful. And he says, but I'm going to bless you through it. I'm going to help you through it. I'm going to stand with you through it. And then you'll know about suffering, and you'll know you can trust me, and you can rejoice forever in me, because I promise I'll never leave you. I think when someone asks me that question, why am I suffering, or why is my loved one suffering, if there truly is a God, I think that's the number one objection that the unbeliever has. If there's God, then why is there this bad things in the world? And the only way I understand that is that Jesus himself, he knows our feelings of our affliction and our weakness. He himself suffered. And so he may not take suffering away from you, but he will be next to you, and he will say, I suffered too. I suffered for you so I can be your Savior. I can be your Redeemer. I'll be the help and strength that you need. He will go through the suffering with you. He does not make you carry a cross alone. He lifts it up with you. He knows your heart. He knows how you feel. He has felt the same. God loves you no matter what. As far as application goes, I guess I have three little applications here to these verses. That God loves us no matter what should, number one, comfort us. It should comfort you that the God of heaven knows you and cares about you and loves you no matter what you face. There's comfort there. Second, it should confirm us in our faith. That God loves me means I can go on. I don't understand everything around me, but he gave his Son to die for me. I know he loves me. I'm going to go on. So it comforts us. It confirms us in our faith. And then third, it should compel us to tell someone else about it. It should compel us that the answer to your life is God. It is Christ Jesus laying down his life for your present, forgiving your past, and guaranteeing you into his future. And so let us rejoice in him today as he comforts us, confirms us, and compels us to share this good news that God loves you no matter what. Would you stand with me? Like I said, I need this. I need this message. I need these verses. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you love us. You love us. You love us. Just so clear from this book of Romans that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's all by your grace because we don't deserve it. And yet, you love us no matter what. And it's so easy for us to look at our temporary trials, and they seem so big, and they seem to last so long. And we look and we say, God, how can I get through this? And yet, you make us victorious. You make us more than conquerors because you've loved us so much. And may your love, may the knowledge and remembrance of your love for us, Christ on the cross, taking our sin, taking our place, you've loved us. And so nothing is going to separate us from that. You'll work all things together for our good. Please just help us to rest in your love for us. It is chesed. It is steadfast, everlasting love. It does not change based on our behavior. You've just chosen to love us, and you proved it through your Son, Christ. I ask for anyone listening today, if they've never come to trust in you, that they would see your love, and they would gladly turn from their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would experience this changing life, love that you have, that can never go away and we can never be separated from, and we'll just spend eternity knowing more and more how great it is. So I thank you and I praise you, and I thank you for our church. I pray that we would grow in your love for us, and may we be compelled to love one another more and to share this love with those who are lost. Please bring us into contact and into relationship with those who need to hear of your love, and save them as you have saved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together.